May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 755. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound, to malefactors doomed to die. Lord, may this bliss in me be found, may I redeeming grace enjoy. Hymn 755. Reading from God's holy word is from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 14. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 14. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The ploughmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help Benji to pray.
Come now and help us to truly call upon thy name. Oh, that thou wilt come and indite that true prayer in our hearts, that thou wilt revive us, that thou wilt draw us unto thee. For, O Lord, we have to truly confess our wretchedness, our sinfulness, O Lord, to come unto thee with a humble heart. Oh, to enable us to fall then at thy feet, seeking mercy, seeking that thou wilt have compassion upon us and remember us for good. O Lord, that thou wilt come and put that true repentance in our hearts and enable us to seek thee. O, to look up unto thee, thou who art the one thing needful. Thou alone canst forgive us our sins. Thou alone canst cleanse us and make us right. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and cover us in that robe of righteousness which thou hast wrought out. O, it is thy work, we plead. We look to thee. O, that thou wilt come and be that friend of sinners to our souls. Lord, that thou wilt draw our hearts up unto thee, that we might truly know that thou art our Saviour, our Redeemer. O Lord, the one who alone can make us right for a never-ending eternity. O, we do desire then to remember all thy mercies to us. Thou hast brought us through thus far. Thou hast helped us each, provided for us each many mercies here below. O Lord, but oh, how we need those mercies that last to a never-ending eternity. Do come then and remember us for good. We pray that thou wilt use thy word even this day, if it can be thy will, applied to our hearts by the power of thy Holy Spirit. O, make thy word effectual. O Lord, leave us not to a form of religion. We need the power. We need thee to use thy word to quicken and to liven our souls. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt be our helper still and make us right. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt use thy word here in thy house, that thou wilt bring thy servants with thy message, and that we might each have that hearing ear and that understanding heart. Lord, that thy word might be made effectual and powerful, and that thy name might be praised. Oh, that there might be that honour and glory brought forth unto thee. We do pray then that thou wilt remember each of thy servants as they come, and that thou wilt give them that message, that thou wilt make thy word suitable to each case found here in thy house. Lord, thou knowest the cries and the petitions that each one have come with even tonight. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt send those answers of peace, that thou wilt work in each one and send none empty away. Lord, the work is thine. The power is thine. We pray then that we might truly know thy presence here tonight and that thou wilt use thy word. O Lord, bring forth praise. Help us each to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. For thou alone canst bring us through and land us safe at last. O enable us each then to truly look up unto thee and trust in thy name, in thy work, in all that thou hast done, to be enabled to truly consider thee and thy sufferings, thy death, to know it was done for my soul. O Lord, do help us each then to consider these things and to truly be made right. Remember each one then, thou knowest the particular needs, trials and difficulties, O Lord, and we pray that thou wilt bring through, that thou wilt guide and direct the steps of each one, keep them from evil and all those temptations. O Lord, thou knowest how sometimes we're so tempted that we even wonder if we believe that thou art. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt come and increase our faith and enable us to truly trust in thee. Lord, the exhortations are in thy word. Trust in me at all times, ye people. Yet, Lord, how far off from this we oft times feel to be, looking at self. Oh, do draw us, do help us, do remember us then for good. Guide us here below, and keep us from all the evils and the temptations that surround us. O Lord, we pray for thy servant that we had expected here tonight. Lord, thou hast laid him aside under affliction. We pray that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies and that thou wilt raise him up once more and that thou wilt sanctify these trials to his eternal good and enable him once more to preach that everlasting gospel. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember this nation. Thou knowest the need. Thou knowest the wretchedness, the evils that multiply. And Lord, how there seems to be a complete forgetting of thee. We pray then that thou wilt work even in this land, if it can be thy will. O Lord, that thou wilt work in the hearts of some of our leaders. Put thy word there and enable them to stand for that which is right in thy sight, not in their own eyes, but in thy sight, to look to thee, to uphold and strength, and turn us again. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt use thy word with power, even in this house, and Lord, that there might be that fruit brought forth, that work in the heart, that there has to be that speaking of what thou hast done. Lord, we know the hindrances, how far off we feel. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt come over these things and that thou wilt open the mouths of one and another to thy honour and to thy praise. Do then remember us here and build up this church in this place. If it can be thy will, have mercy upon us still. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt forgive us our sins and that thou wilt have mercy still. Lord, if it can be thy will, we do pray that thou wilt guide us aright as regarding a pastor and under-shepherd. O Lord, thou knowest our need here, and we pray that thou wilt send a man. Lord, these things are all with thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. Grant us each then that united cry unto thee to do these things for us. For, O Lord, thou hast said, I will be inquired of to do it for thee. Lord, we do pray then that we might each be enabled to call upon thee to do these things for us with that fervent heart. Oh, do have mercy on us here and grant that true prosperity. Do remember us now and help us through this service. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt use those words spoken in time past. Lord, cause them to be a help to one and another and bring forth thy praise. O, do have mercy then on us now and remember us each for good. Lord, do forgive us our sins as we seek these things for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn 238.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You'll find the words of the text in the chapter we read. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 14, and reading verses 7 to 8 and 9. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. This sad chapter reveals to us the awfulness of sin. It is not commonly known, alas, for us. Sin, for the most part, is a very trifling matter. But God will make his people understand the evil nature of sin. Every son of Adam will know the evil nature of sin, either in this world or in the world to come. If in this world, oh what a mercy! If in the world to come, what a terrible eternity! Ah, you young people, and old too, that have no grace, it may be to you an excessively gloomy, repugnant kind of subject. That one should speak about sin is not pleasing to you. You may be mentally saying, I wish he would treat of other subjects, plenty of which are in the Bible. But let me be, as God may help me, faithful and affectionate, and tell you this, that your sins one day will find you out. If here, you will bless God through eternity. When he discovers Jesus Christ to you, you will be thankful that ever he discovered sin to you. But if not, by the help of God, your ears, as long as you lend them to me here, shall hear what sin is, as far as I can tell you. It behoves one to be faithful. Israel knew what sin was. They loved it. They went after it. But they knew what it was. They knew it as they looked at the parched ground, as they found no harvest, as the children of the nobles went to the pits for water, found none, and returned with empty vessels and ashamed faces. They knew what sin was. They knew what God's service was when they could not enter upon it. They knew what it was to have no Sabbath, and therefore saw there was a Sabbath. Oh, it was solemn. Every child of God knows what sin is by the bitter taste of it, by the burdensome feeling of it, by the guilt of it, by the confusion it brings, by the distance to which it carries him from the land into some Babylon. God's people know it. This chapter reveals to us God's judgment. Sin brings punishment, particularly on the saints of the Most High in this life. Shall I not visit for these things? He does visit. I praise him that he has visited me and dealt with me. He has not let me find sin easy. I do not find it so today. It must, where grace is, be bitter. Judgment comes. Reproof in the conscience, if nothing more. If the Lord spares things and does not lay his heavy hand on us in providence, yet sin shall be bitter in the conscience by his reproofs. This chapter reveals that to us. Here then are two things in this chapter. Look at them as the Lord may help you. First, the backslidings of the children of Israel, which he sets before them. And secondly, the judgments of God upon them for those backslidings. But thanks be to his name, there is yet a third thing set forth in this chapter, and it is an amazing thing, namely the power of faith as it stands in God. Yes, it must be a very powerful faith that, with sin charged on you, conscience bearing witness against you, the heavy hand of God in some ways upon you, that you can, notwithstanding, venture to him, pray, confess, wait, and look for forgiveness and ask for it. So our text is occupied with this great matter, faith. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Here we have confession and petition. Confession of iniquities. They saw them, and the dry pits told of them, the empty pitchers, the barren chapped land told the people of their iniquities. Those judgments were like God's voice, as if he should be saying to them, you have departed from me. I have left you. You have been unfruitful. Your land shall be unfruitful. You have sought vanity. Vanity shall be your ruin. God's people come to this sooner or later. Their iniquities testify against them. They are set before us, as some here can say, in the light of God's countenance. Probably some of you have read, as it were, your particular sins in God's dealings with you, and you have said, I see and I know why this is. You have traced your sin in the light of some solemn dealing of God with you. You have looked at what you have been and what you have done and how vilely you have departed from the living God. He has made it so to us that it has been a bitter and an evil thing that we have departed from him. Now this is the very opposite of black despair. Confession of sin is the fruit of faith, the fear of God, and the operations of the Holy Ghost. Confession of sin, as here it is made, is a great matter, And I do doubt whether there ever can be much prayer without confession. When we have no sin, then there will be no confession. But as long as we have sin, and as long as we indulge it, and we do in our thoughts, if nowhere else and no farther, so long will there be confession. The Lord gives it us. The Lord give it us. The Lord bless us with it. It is pleasing to him. Where it is lacking, it is a bar between the soul and God. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, he says. O sinner, if you can confess your sin, while you are confessing it, you are not a great way from a fountain, the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Nor is it gloomy. It is sad, but not gloomy. It is always attended with some hope, and often, which is a singular thing to those who are blessed with confession, it is attended by a very free spirit. Lack of confession locks you up. A sweet spirit of confession opens your spirit and makes you free. Free to speak to God as you could not speak amongst your fellows. It is not gloomy. The soul says, when speaking to the Lord, there is mercy with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But with thee there is forgiveness, with thee there is plenteous redemption. Two things were in his eye at the same moment. In his heart he had the feeling of them. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, if thou shouldest mark mine, I could not stand before thee. But with thee there is mercy, with thee is plenteous redemption. A sight of sin alone tends very strongly toward despair. A sight of sin with the atonement in view moves the soul in hope. Bless God for a confessing spirit when attended with a lively hope in the mercy of God. This confession was attended with petition. Though our iniquities testify against us, though we have no excuses, though we must lay our hand on our mouth and get into the dust, though we have not a single thing to say in extenuation of these things we are confessing, Lord, do send rain for thy name's sake. And so a sinner says, Lord, do forgive me for thy name's sake. It is a strong faith, not perceived to be strong at the time, but it is a strong faith that while sin is before the soul on it, and while the soul is confessing it, can say, Lord, forgive it. Lord, put it away. What gives faith this power? A sight of the atonement in the light of the Holy Ghost. That will help you. When everything else fails, that will stand you in good stead. When your mouth is closed by guilt, this will open it to see the Saviour's blood. Can blood such horrid crimes atone? Yes. Blood so rich as thine, Oh, that has afforded me a plea many times. Yes, blood so rich as thine. Black sins, black backslidings, black thoughts, evil things as we have done. But oh, that precious, efficacious, all-valuable, invaluable blood of Jesus Christ, that can cleanse the blackest soul and wash away our stain. Now, beloved friends, as enabled, go on in this track. It is a well-worn, beaten track. Saints of old walked in it. You walk in it as helped, and God will meet with you and do for you what you need. If those poor people, those of them who lived near the river, near the sea, had taken their buckets and drawn water to pour upon the land and tried to fill up the cracks and the chaps, would that have been pleasing to God? Would that have been acceptable? Would that have made the land fruitful? Ah, no. You go back and try to do better and make promises. Will that make you fruitful? Will that fill your cisterns? Will that do you good? No, not at all. But if you can say, Lord, against whom we have sinned, we cry to thee to forgive us our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. That will do. That will do. You will not go away empty. You may wait a long time. You may fear the blessing will not come. But it will come. God will send it. I will pardon. Take with you words, you foul backsliders. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And what does he say? I will receive thee. I will love thee freely. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. I will heal their backslidings. Ah, says the Lord, I will heal. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions as a thick cloud for mine own sake. Poor sinner, do you look at a barren soul, a barren life, a sin-stained, a sin-forfeited life, nothing right in you, as you often think nothing right about you as you look back? Oh, what a cause for you to sink. What a reason for you to give up all crying. But do you ever see the atonement? Then I say, what a cause for prayer. What a reason, what an encouragement for you to press your case on the notice of God. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. So we see how the Lord unites things which no one else could do. He unites in his people's experience conviction, confession, and forgiveness. Blessed be God for his great mercies. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Ah, it is a great thing to come to this point. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. My friends, can you, do you feel led and constrained to confess your sins? One of the worst signs in a professor is a lack of conviction and a lack of confession, a self-justifying spirit. What have I done more than others? Such a person is far from God and far from hope. But a person who feels he has nothing to say and nothing to pay, nothing to excuse himself with, nothing to take to God but his blackness and his confessions, such a person has great reason for hope, though he may think he has not. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Strange questions these. Strange questions for a sinner who sees he deserves God's eternal absence and anger, to ask of that same God. Here again I must say, this is a strong faith, a faith moved and sustained by the Holy Ghost and strengthened and encouraged by a sight of the atonement. Look at the questions. Why shouldest thou, the hope, the only hope of Israel, be as a stranger in the land? One just passing through, having no interest in it, nothing to call for attention or to detain him. Just one who is going somewhere else, passing through the place. Lord, why shouldest thou be so? Have you got a reason why he should? Ah, he said, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Could you justify him if he said it to you? I could if he said it about me. At least I have done. A stranger having no interest in a place and nothing to detain him there, does not look upon its misery. He is not affected by it. There may be much death, much trouble, poverty, suffering in the place, but it does not interest him. He just uses the place for the moment for his convenience. Could you bear God to be like that with you? As a stranger coming into Brighton just because it lies between the place he is coming from and the place he would go to, who does not think about the sick and the hospitals and has no interest in the town? Could you bear the thought of God being like that to you? To take no notice of you, to do nothing for you, never to inquire after your welfare, never to leave a blessing, Oh, what a dreadful thought. It pierces the soul who is far from God through backsliding. It pierces him. You could not tell if you have not felt it, the piercing of it, the bitterness, the grief, the wounding of it. What? The Lord hath no care for me? I deserve not that he should have, but oh dreadful, oh terrible. It spells hell, endless ruin, deep despair. As a wayfaring man that turneth aside for his own convenience and not for the good of the place, that turneth aside to tarry for a night. These are questions. How dare a sinner, knowing his sins, his backslidings, ask such questions? The devil will come against you and say, oh, you presumptuous creature. Unbelief will rise up and say, how dare you speak so to the Almighty, against whom you have sinned? And sins and black guilt and hardness of heart and the despisings you have been guilty of and the disesteem you have had of God and his things, these will rise up and say, dare you go to him whom you have treated so? Why, my friends, I have had all these things in my own heart many times. Dare you go? And even when praying, something comes to stop you. Oh, do not presume. Ah, but a man of God dares to do it. Great as he is, I dare be free. The courage to do this is derived from the atonement of Christ, the blessed work of Christ. Oh, sinner, if you can carry your guilt in confession, if you can make mention of it to the Lord and look to the atonement, it will give you courage to say, why shouldest thou be as a stranger, as a wayfaring man? Now this leads a sinner under the Holy Spirit's teaching to contemplate intimacy and to desire it, to contemplate intimacy and to desire it. Intimacy with God, and God to be intimate with him. Oh, what a mercy, what a mystery, what a wonder. Will the Lord come? These questions intimate, Lord, we are not content. We cannot be content that thou shouldest be absent from us, or just be as a stranger, or as a wayfaring man. Do come, do be intimate with us. Does God hold familiar converse with men? He does, blessed be his name. What does this mean? Showers of rain, fruitful fields. That is to say, the pardon of sin, the coming of Christ into the soul, the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich, and with which he addeth no sorrow. Is not it wonderful? It has been to me at times that I, who have deserved eternal distance and absence, should have the presence of that blessed God, that presence that is heaven below and the promise of heaven to come, that presence that subdues all iniquity, that presence that brings sweet prosperity, heavenly peace. A suffering, bleeding Jesus will say to a sinner, look unto me and be ye saved, even from the very ends of the earth. For I am God, and beside me there is no Saviour. Can you urge this, my friends? Every believing soul that has courage to urge this before the Lord will find one day that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion that he retaineth not his anger forever, but that he will say, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? As if those people should look upon the land and think of God in the covenant with respect to it and ask these great questions. For put to God, they are great. Comparing God as he passes through to a man who, looking on ruin, should stand astonished, who, seeing it so great, should be as one who cannot do anything in it. Did you ever feel like that? Lord, why should it be that one who bears thy name should be clothed in rags like a vagabond, wandering about with no home? It seems to me that this is a wonderful faith that is here exhibited to us, that this guilty people, who had brought their own ruin on themselves, should yet be bold so to speak to the Lord. Lord, do not be as one that is amazed at it. Do not be as one that cannot do anything in it, that cannot deliver from it. Why shouldest thou be? Well, I will tell you two things as to ourselves. First, our guilt has brought the ruin. And secondly, we do stand astonished at it, and we can do nothing in it. No, we can do nothing to repair our waste places. Nothing. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? No. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. And the third thing is this, that though we have brought it on ourselves, and though we can do nothing in it at all, yet there is this spirit of faith working in the Holy Ghost that will rise up to God and bring the case to him. If anyone had said to you who have had a good deliverance and Jesus Christ revealed in you, that you could possibly have come to your present condition of ruin and barrenness, you would hardly have believed them. It was so with me when the Lord forgave my sins first and brought me to walk with him and to feel that dying would be as easy as going to bed was. I would not have believed it, but now so it has been. Again and again. Now I will tell you of one or two things in God that will encourage the soul so to speak to him. And the first is that I have before mentioned. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Oh, what a beautiful light falls upon the conscience and the understanding sometimes to affect the whole soul. Oh, Lord, nobody has ever been as base as I am, and no ruin in any soul could be as great as the ruin is in my soul. Yet with thee, with the Lord, there is mercy. Mercy, the total sum of all we want. Free mercy, great mercy, everlasting mercy. Mercy in love, mercy in power, mercy in the blood of Christ, in the righteousness of Christ. Mercy in the covenant of grace, in the promises of the gospel. Mercy in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It is all mercy. If you get a view of that, if it be but a passing view of it, you will say, well, I cannot give it up. While this appears to me, I must press my suit. I must urge my case. I must go on praying for mercy. Poor sinner, that is a great reason. And another reason that will encourage the soul is this, that the God-man Jesus Christ has all power. If you went to all the children of God in the world and represented to them your ruin, all must say, we are helpless. No power here is in the hand of the creature. A minister can but touch it as God may use him. But when you go by faith to the God-man, then you will be enabled to say to him, let this ruin be under thy hand. This ruin of my soul repair. This guilt on my conscience remove. This dryness in my spirit take away. These openings, these cracks and chaps, and all this barrenness in my soul take away. And can he do it? What does your heart say, O believer? Can he do it? Ah, yes, faith says that he can, I nothing doubt, be it but his pleasure. Well, that faith will keep you at it, will keep you at the throne, keep you begging, praying, trusting, cleaving, and following on. That is a reason. Lord, why shouldest thou look on this ruin like an astonished person? He said, I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously. It does not surprise him. I knew thee. Nevertheless, he says, for mine own sake will I do this. I will bless you, I will forgive you, I will do you good with all my heart and with all my soul. Now if you look again at the fountain open for sin and uncleanness to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that will afford you a great and strong cry to the Almighty. Oh, you will beg and beg and beg if you see the atonement. It is one thing to be acquainted with the letter of the atonement. It is another and very different thing to see it by precious faith to be of infinite value. The ruin of my soul repair, you will say to him. Lord, thou seest all this ruin. Do repair it. And another reason is this. Faith sometimes sees God to be a God of love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Oh, says the sinner, Lord, let me live through thee. Let me live in thee. Let me live in thy mercy, in thy love, in thy power, in thy goodness. Let me live. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Now, as far as I have any understanding in this great subject of the text, it seems to resolve itself into these two things. Here are people whose sins have exceeded, and God has made them know it, as it is in the book of Job. He showeth them their work and their transgressions, that they have exceeded above all others. Like as Ezra said, we are before thee in our trespasses. They have reached unto the heaven, and we are before thee in them. And we cannot stand before thee because of this. Are there any here now who can say with Ezra, why, that is exactly how I feel, how we are? Now, what does the Lord say? This is the second thing. According to his teaching in this word, God, as it were, says, come to me. Though I am against you, though I will yet judge you, and will judge the false prophets who prophesied out of their own heart and gave you false reasons for security, though all this shall be brought to light and punished, yet come to me. I will teach you how to come. Call upon me in the day of guiltiness, in the day of barrenness, in the day of drought, dearth, famine and death. And I will not be always as a stranger in the land, as a wayfaring man. I will come and tabernacle with you. Call upon me, and I will not always be as an astonished person, looking on ruin without any power to deliver. I will not be as one that cannot save. Oh, what a mercy if we come to know experimentally these two things. The Lord grant that we may, and find in this word that we have been looking at, some encouragement to go on confessing, 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 and praying, praying, praying. Because he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £710, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 105. When I by faith my Maker see, in weakness and distress, brought down to that sad state for me, which angels can't express, when that great God to whom I go for help amazed I view, by sin and sorrow sunk as low as I, and lower too. Hymn 105.
send mercy now as we come to the end of our services today. So we pray, Lord, that each and every one of us may know the true realities of the things that we've heard and the things that we've sung today. Lord, lead unto us to be satisfied with rounds of dead service. Oh, but Lord, we pray that we may each truly know in our hearts thy light shining into our souls. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may each truly know that real confession, real repentance, and real living faith in a precious Saviour. Oh, do grant then, Lord, that these blessings may be truly known by each one of us. Oh, Lord, do accept our thanks for thy many, many mercies today, thy mercies to us through the services here, thy mercies to us, Lord, personally and in our families. Oh, Lord, truly thy faithfulness is new every morning. We've proved it through another day. Do then help us to return thanks. But Lord, do forgive all that has been amiss in thy soul, in our services, in our souls, in our praises. Lord, we're so conscious that everything we do is stained with sin. Look upon us then in mercy, we pray, through Jesus Christ. Help us each now, Lord, through the week that we've started. Watch over us, do keep us. Keep us from evil and from greed in thee and from temptation. And O Lord, we pray now as we come, that we may each truly know in our hearts that love of an almighty God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.